there's breath in your body, there is hope.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special and exciting Think Hope podcast. And the reason why I say that for various reasons. The first one being that we are finally in April, which is the National Month of Hope. We have been leading up to this time. We have been having different Think Hope podcasts talking about April is coming, April is coming. Well, the recording of this particular podcast, April, the National Month of Hope, or National Hope Month, is here. And as usual, we are excited. We are so excited. It's one thing about this powerful force of hope. It does keep you excited because think about it. To have hope is to have expectation. You expecting that things are going to get better, that something good is going to happen. And whenever you're in a state of expectation, there is excitement there. It's like a surprise. You're looking forward to something, and you know that it's going to happen. And so we've been leading up to this month all year long, where we celebrate Mothers in Crisis. We're the founder and administrator of the April National Month of Hope through the National Day Calendar. That's where we received the designation back in 2018. I've been on an interview. We're doing a national media campaign this year again. The first year, 2018, we did a national media campaign, radio primarily. This year, we're kind of adding television and radio into this campaign. And I tell you, it's been so exciting just going all across the United States virtually via Zoom and via the radio. And so I had a wonderful, wonderful interview. I hope I get a chance to share that link that I was interviewed on this On Point talk show. And that was earlier today with Carlette Christmas out of Louisiana in that market. And she said, you know, I've never heard of that April was the National Month of Hope or April was the National Hope Month. And then I said, well, it just started in 2018. And she said, oh, I guess that's why. Yes, it is fairly new. But, you know, one thing that I can say that this year it is different than the first. I believe that we're kind of making some traction here. You know, whenever you're pioneering something and you're laying the groundwork and it's like you go out there and you're breaking up the fallow ground and you're just putting those seeds out there saying, hey, you guys, hey, we got a month that we can celebrate hope, and hope is powerful and hope is needed, and you can learn how to be more hopeful, and you're just kind of throwing it out there. But I don't know if it was because of what happened with COVID 2020 and we're currently still in this pandemic or what, but people are just soaking this up. They are soaking up this hope. It's a different flow, it's a difference now. It's gaining traction, and people are open. They're listening. They're taking in the principles of how to become more hopeful, how to think hope, how to take hope breaks. We are so excited this year that we have our Balls for Hope campaign, the 2021, and I tell you, that has been so exciting and so refreshing that people are really grabbing hold of those balls, and it is rolling right along, pun included, intended, this Balls for Hope campaign. And so we are so excited. I'm going to read our official press release about April as the National Month of Hope. And then I'll tell you the second part of our excitement is that we are going to continue the series of what we do each year leading up to April, the National Month of Hope. All through April, National Month of Hope, is share with various Hopi awardees. And this year we decided to include a posthumous category so that we can recognize some that had already gone on, but their legacy remains, their legacy of helping others practice enduring empowerment. And you talk about enduring because now this is even beyond the grave, that their lives, their legacy is still bringing hope. And we have none other than Minister Erinetta Friesen, who is the daughter of Reverend Dr. Bernice Clausell. And we're going to find out about this phenomenal woman, and we even have clips where we will be able to hear her in her own words. And each one of these podcasts that we do with Hopi awardees, it's always great. I love doing that because by the time we're done, people understand, oh, I see why, you know, they received a Hopi Award. I see why they are being recognized. And it also gives others a chance to celebrate them. So we're excited about that as well. But let's get started here. April is the National Month of Hope, or the National Hope Month. I love that, too. I hear some people say that. And we are officially announcing the Hopi Award recipients. It's the National Month of Hope, and this year we have implemented the Balls for Hope campaign, and we're giving stress balls to frontline workers and others in need of hope. As founder and president of Mothers in Crisis and also the National Month of Hope, I know that hope is needed now more than ever due to the 2020 coronavirus pandemic that many people are still suffering the effects of, and we don't want to, you know, just gloss over that, because people are getting infected every day. People have lost loved ones. People have been infected. I tell the story of what happened with my husband and I. And so this is a real thing. And through the Balls for Hope campaign, we are spreading hope one ball at a time. And it's just a way of saying, you know, instead of feeling stressed, squeeze that hope ball. Instead of feeling lonely, throw that hope ball up and get some endorphins moving in your brain and begin to feel better. It really makes a difference. Having seen the impact that hope can have on people's lives, Mothers in Crisis launched a national public awareness campaign in 2018, beginning with the designation of April as the National Month of Hope, challenging people to think hope and make hope connections. This is, and so in the inaugural campaign, now it has turned into a powerful movement and is going international this year with individuals in Pakistan and other countries adopting the tenets of the whole Hope campaign and celebrating April as their National Month of Hope. And we had a kickoff in Pakistan's Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, that Turning Point Pakistan Church, they are now celebrating April as the National Month of Hope, and also others within that area. And now, coinciding with the National Month of Hope, the organization has announced, we are announcing the recipients of the third annual Hopi Awards, Helping Others Practice Enduring Empowerment. These awards will be presented to those who exemplify helping others to practice enduring empowerment while spreading hope in the family, church, school, community, marketplace, nation, and the world. The 2021 Hopi Award recipients, Benjamin Crump, civil rights attorney, and we had him on Think Hope podcast for just a brief conversation on last week, and we have that podcast on demand. Dr. Temple O. Robinson, MD, Bond Community Health Center, and we had her on, and we have that powerful interview with her on demand in the podcast that you can listen to. Barbara Boone of Leadership Tallahassee, and we had her on, so we have an on-demand podcast of the interview, and we talked about how empowerment was important in leadership. So that was a very, very strong one as well. American Harvest Food Bank of the Big Bend, Florida A&M University COVID-19 Testing Center, and we will actually have them with us on the last Tuesday live, and I believe that's April the 27th, that they will, someone from that center, the one, the director, I believe, will be on, because I tell you, they have certainly been a beacon of hope as we have been tested there, many, and I tell you, just having to see them and to see that that's a place that you can go and get tested free of charge, it made all the difference in the world. So we'll have Tanya Tatum with us on the 27th talking about FAMU University COVID Testing Center. And also on the Pastor Darius Washington, he's the lead pastor of Faith Life Church in Tallahassee, as well as a producer and recording artist, and he is going to be with us on the 20th, I believe. And the D.D. Jackson Foundation, and that is Tito Jackson's children, T.J., Todd, and Terrell Jackson, and they were on. So, yes, they were on, and so we have that on demand. We had a very wonderful conversation with T.J. Jackson, and I was just thinking about, wow, I am talking to Michael Jackson's nephew, and they're doing a wonderful job with the D.D. Jackson Foundation. Their mother, Dolores Jackson, was brutally murdered by an ex-boyfriend who did serve time for that crime. And they were young men at the time, teenagers. T.J. was the youngest. So it's really how they were able to take that tragedy and now bring hope to others, and especially young people through music therapy. The Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation, that's Taraji Henson Foundation, that is bringing awareness and help for mental health issues in especially the Black community. And last but not certainly not least, the state of South Carolina and their state symbol, part of their state symbol is Dum Spiro Sparo, which in Latin means while I breathe, I hope. And we're going to have a young man from the state of South Carolina, and he's going to be with us talking about the Urban League program that they have there, Project Ready, that is empowering. It's Matthew Long Jr., and he'll be with us on, I believe it is the 13th. Yes, so he'll be with us next week. So we have a great lineup. Now, let's get into our posthumous Hopi awardees, Tyson, Chadwick Boseman, and Representative John Lewis, and the late, great Reverend Dr. Bernice Clausell, and that's who we will be celebrating on tonight by bringing in her daughter, Minister Araneta Friesen. Hello, Araneta.
Hello, Dr. Tompkins. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
It's so good to it's so good to hear your voice. Glad that you were able.
Thank you. It's so good to be joining in with you tonight. I was so humbled and honored to be asked to join you tonight to talk about my mom. We appreciate this opportunity.
Well, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be able to recognize Reverend Dr. Bernice Clausell for all of the contributions, the work that she's done over the many decades. And what I want you to do, because you are her mother, you knew her better than any of us, although she was such a dear friend to me and so many, I want you to introduce her and tell a little bit about your mother.
Wow. Well, I know we don't have much time, because this yes. could take some time. However, yes, my mother was born in Georgia, but she only stayed there 6 months, and they moved to Columbus, Ohio. But my mother lost her mother when my mother was only 6 years old. So, and there were 10 children and
wow.
10 motherless children. And so she had to learn early in her life what hope was all about, you know, before
yes.
she could even spell the word. She had to do it. You know, she had to hope. But thank God for a blind auntie named Aunt Maddie that took some of the children and raised them. Three of them lived to be grown. My mother was the last one to leave to go to heaven. But in her life up north, she became very active in civil rights movements. Up there was Adam Clayton Powell. She had moved to New York and worked in Washington, D.C., and there were a lot of civil rights movements that she participated in. She was one of those that sat at the lunch counters, was spit on, you know, had their coffee cups thrown and mashed into the wall. And, you know, she endured but she always had a purpose. And she always wanted to bring good change to her people. So she got involved early with that. And then she met this tall, handsome man named Reverend James Aaron Clausell around the 1940s. And
wow.
they were just joined together, just as if, you know, it was almost on their birth certificate that they were supposed to be together. It just happened just
uh-huh.
like that. And of course, he was a minister, and I know God was setting her up for something. And she had to move, of course, from New York down to Florida, and she says she cried all the way down on the train. certainly after she got settled in to Florida, you know, she began to learn her purpose. And she got busy right away. She started organizing groups. You know, she organized the Baptist Ministers' Wives Council, I think was one of the first she ever organized in the Tallahassee Association of Christian Women. And then an organization that is still going strong today is the National Association of University Women. And she was instrumental with that group, and it's a group of educators that do a lot for the community. And, of course, she was able to, you know, fulfill her purpose with them, and they are still going on. Thank God for that, living out, you know, her dreams and legacies. So she was standing by her husband's side when they decided together to start a church around, you know, in the late 50s. And the church started with prayer meeting in our home, right where I'm sitting now on Joseph Street.
Wow.
And it started with a group of, you know, neighbors and community friends. And then the young people started coming and wanted to be a Christian and be baptized. So, you know, they're saying, wow, we looks like we're going to have to get us a church. So, but yes, they were able to baptize the young people. They borrowed a baptismal pool at another church, but they started looking for a piece of land. And my mother always had her eyes on the blackberry patch right across from our house. And she kept hounding my daddy. I remember, did you go and check on so-and-so? And finally he did. And sure enough, out of their own pockets, they financed the building of Calvary Baptist Church. And Calvary Baptist Church outgrew its first building, which was sold to another church. But they were very instrumental in drawing the community together with their outreach projects. Calvary is known for their many gatherings in the yard, rummage sales and giveaways, and just all kinds of events that you can even think of. She just was into loving people. And that's what she's always done, is love people. She's always brought hope to people. People have asked her to stop and pray for them at the gas station, at the grocery store, wherever, and they just believed in her. And she believed in them. And that's really what struck me a lot, was how she believed in people. She believed that they could be something, or they could reach a desired goal. And she would ask God, you know, to help them with that. And they trusted her. And so our church, you know, was filled with people that had been touched by her and my dad. And so to outgrow a building was a good thing because that means that the evangelism had taken place, you know, and hope was growing within the people. So, but we did move, I think it was in the year 2008, to our current building over on Dale Street, which is now Calvary, the Cornerstone Church. But I want to say that I think it was the year 2006 that we had a Black History program at the old Calvary on Joe Lewis Street. And it was a role model program. That's what it was called. Everyone was supposed to think of someone, you know, that influenced their life, that they felt was a role model for them. Invite them there, introduce them, and, you know, tell the story of how they influenced your life, and present them with a certificate. And Reverend Bernice Clausell chose Reverend Dr. Rosalind Tompkins as her role model back in 2006.
Wow.
And I know you remember that night at the church.
Yes, let me just say, I mean, that was one of those moments where, you know, you just go down on your knees and on your face. I was so honored for her to designate me as a role model. So I want you to continue, but I want to stop now and let's hear from her. Let's hear. I have clips, and I have I have a clip from her talking about her book, No Time to Die. Now, how old was she when she wrote that?
It was actually published, I believe, in 2013. But she had been writing on it for many years.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play a clip from that because I interviewed her way back then whenever we decided to have her book. We lifted up her book in our Hope Universe happenings as a summer read.
Yeah.
So let's hear this phenomenal woman in her own voice.
Yeah. No time to die. And I'm talking about none other than the Reverend Dr. Bernice H. Clausell. So I'm going to read just a little bit about Reverend Clausell, and then we'll officially bring her on and hear from the woman of God from her own lips and from her own heart. Amen. Amen. Reverend Dr. Bernice H. Clausell was born in Georgia and reared in New York and ministered in Florida for most of her life. She is affectionately known by a few other names, Tallahassee's Mother Teresa, the state mother's mother of prisons, the Reverend Mother, Pastor Emeritus Madeer, Grand Madeer, Grandma Gar, and Honey. Welcome, Reverend Clausell, to Hope Universe Happenings Blog Talk Radio Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I tell you, this is quite a life, amen. As I was reading, amen, your introduction, and just very well written, just representing just such a life that's just well lived. It's just quite an honor to have you on the show. And also, I've been talking about this summer reading list from Hope Universe, and one of the main books that's on the top of our list for the summer and just a good reading is your latest book, No Time to Die. And so we want to have some time to just, you know, talk a little bit about that book and everything. But first of all, I'd just like to say welcome to the show, and how are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing just great today. It's a wonderful day for me.
Praise God. Amen.
Praising the Lord.
That is beautiful. I'm so happy to hear that, and I've been praying that you would have a beautiful day and that you would be able to join us and what have you, because I've been so excited about your coming on the show. And I guess just want to start off by asking you, Reverend Clausell, what's your inspiration and motivation for writing this book? Now, is this your first book that you've written, No Time to Die?
Well, actually, it's my first real book. When I taught at Head Start in 1966, I wrote a little pamphlet book, a very small book, about the Head Start program. And it was successful, too. We sold all of them. Most of the teachers bought them at that time.
So that
was my actually first writing of something that was published out. You know, but I've done a lot of other kinds of writing.
Okay, I understand.
In No Time, that's my first real book.
Okay. Well, praise God. Well, I'm so glad that you did write it. And what made you write it? Or, I mean, because now at this age of 95 years old, and so now you're finally kind of getting that book out there. What was your inspiration for doing that?
Well, actually, something inside of me kept pushing me, you know, to write. And as I talk with people and tell them different things about my life, they said, well, you ought to write a book. You ought to write a book. Finally, it hit me that I ought to write a book. So I sat down and began to write a book. And as I wrote, it just became so real. Everything came back to me. And there were so many things I wanted to put in the book that I couldn't put everything in there. And so I just overflowed with enthusiasm for writing this book.
Yes. Well, how long did it take you?
Well, 2 years, actually.
Okay.
2 years, because I never really just sat down to do nothing but write.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I understand.
I would write a little while and stop and come back maybe a week later. Stuff like that, because I was busy doing other things.
I understand, yeah, because you're quite busy, absolutely. So that was the late, great Reverend Dr. Bernice Clausell, in her own words. I interviewed her about her book, No Time to Die. So, Minister Araneta, what are you feeling right now? How do you feel hearing your mom?
Oh, my goodness, I just cannot tell you. I'm smiling, for sure. And, I mean, she's just so phenomenal, you know. And, I mean, she has left, but yet she's here. You know, it's just so wonderful. And thanks to the knowledge of technology, the knowledge that you have to pull things together, I so appreciate that. I was also thinking while she was talking, that we've always said, the family has always said, if the book ever becomes a movie, we would want Cicely Tyson to play her.
Play Reverend Caldwell. I could have seen that, awesome.
Yes, but it's so awesome that they're both being honored, you know, this year and this month together at the same time. Because,
yes,
you know, that's what we were wishing, that they could be together. So, hey, it happened.
Absolutely. And I tell you, that's so similar. And one of the things that really, really was a blessing to me, and I know many other women ministers, was the fact that she was a pastor in a Baptist, you know, denomination. And just being that gracious role model. Every time I saw her, she held herself with such honor and just regalness. And so tell us, on the inside, how was that experience for her?
Being the first pastor, becoming a pastor.
Especially as a woman.
Yeah, right. She walked into this with a lot of courage. She always said God knew she was a woman when he called her. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, she had to go and explain to him. He knew that. God knew that. And so, but she was very concerned about explaining that to her husband, Reverend Dr. Caldwell. Because he was from the old school, women don't preach, and pastoring is just out of the question. So as much as we love our father and everything that he's done, he said to her, well, I guess you have to join the Methodist Church. That was his comment to her. And so she really, really had to pray, and she, you know, she met with some of her mentors and confidants about it. And she just had to step forward, you know, with God's leadership. And it just so happened that my father, you know, started falling ill, and he was unable to you know, carry out pastoral duties anymore. And on the night that we had, a church meeting where he actually resigned, before he ended his speech, he said, and you don't have to look far for a pastor. You have one that's been beside me for many years. And I just thought my mama was going to faint. I thought I had to pick her up from the floor. And we were all, you know, but, I mean, we were just all as children, because we know what she went through. She had some crying days there because she knew it was going to be a hard pull, you know, to first convince her husband and then, you know, to just be in this role that is not traditionally for women. So, you know, she had some ministers behind her, and some went behind her back and voted against her, and because in the state convention they actually took up this topic of women ministers, and but that was in the 70s, of course the state convention really did not condone it. However, the church called her as their pastor, and she stepped up to the plate. And she fulfilled that role for 18 years.
18 years. And I tell you, she was a wonderful pastor. The Lord anointed her with a gift.
Yes.
And she was such a role model to so many other women like myself, who, as she said, God knew that I was a woman when he called me.
Right.
And to see her step out like that, especially during that season, and still now there's some pushback. But I want to share a little clip from a sermon, and I call it a sermon of hope, that she preached for us at Turning Point International Church. and so that everyone can just hear for themselves that God Almighty called this woman of God, this vessel, to preach his word.
Yes.
So I'm going to share that, and we'll come back and continue the conversation.
Yes.
A President's Award for her volunteer service from President Barack Obama. Amen. I was very blessed to be able to present that award to her. God's love and the love of people keep me working and preaching with vigor and vitality. Well, even now at the age of 95, that's powerful. Amen.
I said I'm just going to face it anyhow.
Amen.
I'm going to face the wind and trust in God.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of wind you have to see. But I say to you, whatever kind it is, just face it.
Yeah.
It could be the wind of sickness.
Yeah.
Maybe the wind of death. Some of your people die. Maybe the old enemy out there blowing and a bluffing. Maybe the wind of financial difficulty. Most of us have that. It could be the wind of church trouble. Most churches have that. Maybe the wind of friends deceiving you. I know some of you have faced that. But whatever tempest is out there, whatever the storms of life, it could be like hard tests in school, any of you in school. Could be hard tests in school, but whatever it is, remember that God calms the tempest. It's God who calms the tempest. God is our refuge and our strength.
Yeah.
In trouble. Do anything to yourself.
She was like dynamite in power.
Yes. Well, you can hear, we were all fired up, and she was talking about facing the wind. That was a powerful message. It was one of our anniversaries, she was encouraging, very encouraging, very hopeful. So I tell you, she definitely deserves this Hopi Award, and we just thank God for her, and we thank God for you as well. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Thompson. It's such an honor, and I appreciate her choosing you as her role model, because that's how you and I became close. You became really a great mentor in my life as well. And so iron strengthens iron.
Yes, and we've traveled. We've traveled to Haiti together, and you were
Thank you.
South Africa.
I've always wanted to do missionary journeys, and so you made that possible for me. And that was one of the first things I did, you know, a few months after her passing, the same year, I was able to go on my first missionary journey to Jamaica with you and the Hope Squad.
All right. So, yeah, so you've been on several then, several with us.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. And I'm going to let you go, but before I let you go, and then Christ Mission Tribe, we're gonna have our conversation more about what's happening with April, National Month of Hope. I wanna play one last clip in your mother's own words, and she was talking about legacy. So let's listen to that, and then we'll wrap this segment up.
You have truly, as they say, paid your dues, and you have gone through so many different eras and different movements, and now we are, I can't believe it, but we are about out of time, so I want to just kind of wrap up and give you an opportunity just to share a little of what you see as your legacy as you're continuing. You've written this great book, and as you are wanting others to remember what you've done and who you are, and what are you leaving for all of us to continue?
Well, there's still much to be done.
Yes.
You know, all has not been done, and there's always something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaders now, they can just jump right in, take over, and continue the work that's been done by others, that's been started by so many people.
Yes.
And these people, these leaders, have taken it so far. But they could only take it so far. So it's up to the coming up leaders now, the young people coming up now, to take hold and carry on. You know, there's trouble in the colleges, and they can, you know, let their name be printed there, that they're doing something there because it needs leadership there in the city, in government. So much to be done. They just need to have the courage to step out and take hold, because sometimes people want to do something, but they're waiting for the leader. Some leader, you know, to come forward, like Moses or Aaron or some of those people, to come and lead them on.
They're
not going to just step out on their own by themselves, but they're looking for somebody with the courage and enthusiasm and to work and lead them on. And people will follow if they got a good leader. You know what I'm saying? There's much to be done. Much.
There's much to be done. Absolutely.
Yes.
Well,
and
you are
I want to say this.
Go ahead.
Have inspired me. What you've done through your life has
been, praise God.
Oh, it touched me so much. You've been great in leading people. Just jumping in and doing.
Yes.
You've done it. You're still doing it.
Thank you so much, Reverend Causelle. And I tell you, I have certainly been inspired and continue to be inspired by you and the great works that you've done, and just the leadership that you have been able to show all of us that are coming and running with the torch and running with... Yes, I tell you, that right
Beautiful.
Here, every time I hear that, it brings tears to my eyes, because your mother was such a gracious, gracious woman, and it's such a blessing
that
her legacy continues, and we have this torch, and we are running on with it, and we are running hard with this Hope campaign, letting everyone know that as long as there's breath in your body, there is still
hope. And she's looking down and smiling at you right now.
Well, back at you. I guess we'll be seeing you at the press conference coming up, and certainly thank you so much for all of your support and for just being a part, a citizen of Hope,
and being a part of this whole Hope campaign. Just know we love you and God bless you. And you know what? We celebrate you as well because you, and I want you to hear me, you are phenomenal. And God is using you mightily. You have picked up your mother's torch. Mm-hmm. So this one, as we end this part, goes to you.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you so much, Dr. Thompson. It's been wonderful speaking with you tonight about my mom and all that you do. May God continue to bless your purpose.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Yes.
All right. I tell you, that was so powerful. We're going to take just a small break and just pull ourselves together here and share this song, this one song that I've kind of adopted, Changed the World, and it really kind of sums up what we're talking about in this Hope campaign.
There is a hope for a world full of darkness. And there is still hope for the little boys and girls. Thank you.
To have?
Well,
That is a easy question, because, you know, hope is knowing that it's going to get better. Right now I have problems when I'm walking, trying to catch my breath, doing things that I've done before with no problem. So looking forward, going fast forward with this operation, with my defibrillator, those things that are going to aid my healing, it gives me hope knowing that I'm going to have a better heart. And not only that, but the expectation that God is going to put his, you know, super on this natural as well. So I even have a bigger expectation of what's going to happen. So right now, I'm expecting.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. We say a big shout out to you and your whole family, and we are continuing to pray, and we have hope. Amen.
And thank you. And as you always say, as long as there's breath in my body, there is hope, and I am breathing. So thank you.
Amen. Yes, and I tell you, one of the reasons why I asked Nettie to share her experience, because as I've been on this this national media campaign this year, promoting hope, because that's what the Hopeologist is all about. It's our patent. I have a patent with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. I have a trademark, as a matter of fact. And it is the promoting the awareness of hope through public advocacy. And as we are going forward, and as I'm on these different interviews, people need to hear stories. People need to hear how this hope really is a real force, and it really plays out, not just in your mind, not just the Pollyanny, oh, I wish I might, as I say, but it is a real thing, and it's not just for the past, oh, you know, whenever I went through something, you know, 30 years ago, but it's for right now, and we are going through things right now. I've been sharing about my COVID experience that me and my husband went through just here recently, and how much hope played a role. Because what we want people to understand is that this is not just some pie-in-the-sky Pollyanny thinking. This is real. And you can take what we're talking about and apply it with whatever's going on in your life. You know, everything is not going to always be peaches and cream, as they say. Everything is not going to always be going your way. You look around and there are real problems. There are real situations. There are real issues. We are facing real things in our lives. It's not that, oh, we have hope because everything is going well. Everything is all right. But one of the things that I've been pointing out is that hope is for the future. Faith is for right now. So whenever you have hope, you say, you know what? I may be going through right now. But just as Reverend Clausell's sermon, as she was preaching that sermon on facing the wind, I know, just as she said, I know that everything is going to be all right. How do I know that? Because I know that God is able. I know that he is real. I know that he has brought me from a mighty long way. And just as he brought me through one thing, he's going to bring me through this. And that's what hope is all about. It's a powerful force, and it's something, because if you think about the alternative of giving up, then what do you have? That's how people end up committing suicide. So as we end today, we are out of time. I just want to say a big God bless you. If you'd like to find out more information about the whole Hope campaign, please go to makeahopeconnection.com. We'll be back next week, and we'll be back every Tuesday live in the month of April as we are celebrating this National Month of Hope, or this Hope Month. And God bless you. We love you. Bye for now. and we'll see you next week.
Remember, as long as there's breath in your body, there is hope.